This podcast is for informational purposes only. We are not medical professionals and do not provide medical advice. Consult a healthcare provider for any health concerns. Opinions expressed are not a substitute for professional medical guidance.
This edition of the Optimize We podcast is brought to you by the Biohacking Index. Visit biohackingindex.com for ratings and reviews of your favorite wellness solutions and wellness providers.
This podcast is for informational purposes only. We are not medical professionals and do not provide medical advice. Consult a healthcare provider for any health concerns. Opinions expressed are not a substitute for professional medical guidance.
Hello, I'm Lindsay O'Neill, and welcome to the Optimize We podcast, where we share biohacking truths without the BS. Today, I am joined by a very good friend of mine, Brian Sanders, who is a filmmaker behind the Food Lies documentary. He is the host of a top five nutrition podcast called Peak Human, and he's an international speaker. He graduated from UCLA with a degree in mechanical engineering, and he's the founder of the Sapien Center, which is in Austin, Texas, and it's a very popular health club. He also works to spread awareness of regenerative agriculture and increase access to well-raised animal products throughout his nationwide meat and body care company called Nose to Tail. Welcome to the podcast today, Brian. I'm so happy to see you.
Yes, Lindsay, let's do this.
Really happy to see you today because I just got really awful news a couple of days ago. My former neighbor's son dropped dead at 14 years old, actually on his 14th birthday. He was morbidly obese. And one of the reasons why I became a culinary medicine chef is this guy right here. This was my best friend, one of my best friends growing up. I knew him since I was 2 years old. And he died of obesity-related health conditions as well at the end of 2019 at only 37 years old. And it really transformed my whole perspective, which I already had, you know, for my own health and wellness and my daughter's. But this obesity crisis is really crazy. You know, could have lived a long, happy life is now gone. And I know that you are doing so much good work to help educate not just adults, but also children in like a really fun and exciting way on how to change their diet and live their peak human life and their healthiest life.
That's rough. And yeah, I mean, that's why I'm doing it. I lost both my parents. And I think it's due to the food and just the environment that we live in. The modern diet and lifestyle is so bad. So yeah, that got me started 10 years ago. And there's so many of these stories. And kind of why I started too was because I changed my diet and it was so simple that I wanted to tell other people. Like, the changes were pretty straightforward. I guess it's not simple to change your entire diet, as so many people just want to eat the way they've always eaten. But it was very enjoyable. And it's not like you're on a diet where you're struggling to stay with it and you're restricting calories and you're doing all these restrictive things. I never felt like that. I mean, there's a way to eat that maybe the mainstream doesn't really recognize that's actually really enjoyable if you switch. And if you do that, it's sustainable for life. You can reverse obesity. I wasn't big. I was always playing sports. You know, I lost 20 pounds of fat 6 months after changing my diet that I didn't even know I had. And I became a different person at 30, right? I'm 41 now. At 30, I was way less healthy. Like, I mean, at 41, I feel like I'm aging in reverse. And it's because I just changed my diet. So yeah, that's why I want to make this Food Lies docuseries and do my podcast and do all this stuff, because it's actually pretty simple, straightforward. Food matters most out of all these things. And yeah, that I'm on the mission.
You started 11 years ago, but you've really fine-tuned, and I love following you on Instagram, which is at food.lies on Instagram, because I get so much inspiration. You were the first person that I heard say abs are made in the kitchen. You not only have transformed your diet, but you also have created kind of like a biohacking protocol for yourself where you're not working out 7 days a week. You're not killing yourself trying to look the way that you do and have a six pack. You're able to do that with the shorter. Mm-hmm. Tell us exactly how you do that.
So I'm just obsessed with efficiency and like root cause thinking and systems thinking and not exactly doing what you're told for no reason. You know, I'm always questioning like, well, why are we doing this? Or what's up with this food pyramid? How did it get started? And a lot of times it's to do with money or the fact that we had millions of acres of corn, wheat, and soy. And we just thought calories were calories, right? So then as I learned all this stuff, I realized that you can eat things like red meat and be healthy. And I was avoiding red meat. I remember my whole life up until 30, I was avoiding red meat. I was avoiding fat. Even eggs, you know, eggs have cholesterol, all these things. And I was also jogging to the exercise point. I was out there jogging and doing cardio for hours each day, you know, like 4 days a week. I was doing the standard stuff, right? Oh man, I need to work out for an hour, like 4 to 5 times a week at least. And now, yes, I do 2 30-minute sessions in the gym and I sprint once a week. And then I just play some beach volleyball on the weekends and that's it. So the beach volleyball, I mean, that's just fun. That's just like absolutely what I look forward to. So really it's 20 minutes of sprinting and 60 minutes in the gym the whole week. And I'm 41 and yeah, I still have abs effortlessly. And it's definitely just about what you eat and doing, I guess, more efficient forms of exercise.
And as you get older too, I mean, obviously you need more strength training. You need more muscle mass because that's the first thing to go. And it's mm-hmm. replaced with the fat that you're eating. And if you're eating a super lean whole food diet, you have a better chance of avoiding the muscle mass depletion as you get older. But I'm a couple of years older than you and I've had 3 kids and one of them was over 9 pounds coming out of my 105-pound body. And I've gone through a lot of health stuff. And so, yes, I had to transform my diet, but I was just down on the beach in Puerto Rico and I'm looking at all these 20-something-year-olds with these big bellies and these big thighs. And honestly, I'm thinking to myself, like, how is it that I'm 43 and I look the way I do? The same as you. I do hot yoga twice a week. I do some weight training, but mostly it's like carrying my laundry up and down the stairs. You know, it's an extra probably 20 to 30 pounds worth of laundry I'm carrying up and down the stairs. I walk my dogs. I stay active. I like to play tennis and golf. And when I play golf, I like to walk the course. It is. It's so simple. It's so easy to make these changes. So what was the first thing that you did in your diet? Like, what are the first things that you cut out?
I actually read Mark Sisson's book, The Primal Blueprint, 10 years ago, 11 years ago. And I'm just like, oh, this makes sense. And I cut out like added sugar, refined grains, and seed oils. Those are the 3 things. And then I started reading about Weston Price. You traveled the world 100 years ago and found all this out. And those were the 3 ingredients. These are just the 3 ingredients that make all of processed foods pretty much. And I just cut those out. And it's amazing what happens when you cut those 3 ingredients out, because all of a sudden you can't eat a lot of foods. You know, I mean, yes, of course, I still have a few things. Like, it's not like I'm insane about it. But if you largely cut out those 3 ingredients, you can't buy boxed or bagged foods anymore. So, right. And I'm eating double the meat. So what I did 11 years ago, I doubled my meat and egg intake and I got rid of pretty much all of the sugar, flour, oil, right? These unnecessary empty calories that just are in everything. And yeah, my whole life changed and people around me did it. My friends did it. Who does it? There's so many people who do it now, right? It's on the internet now. It's great seeing all these Instagram influencers. Everyone's like, as someone who eats a whole foods diet of meat, you know, animal-based whole foods diet, all this stuff. And they're showing their like little cutting boards with the meat and the eggs and like some fruit and just simple stuff, pickles, sauerkraut. Like it's so simple to eat this way. And yeah, you just naturally, your body just becomes what it's supposed to. This is the ultimate biohacking thing. I don't even call it biohacking. I was calling it ancestral hacking, which is really what biohacking is getting us back to our human environment, right? So it could be the diet, it could be the lifestyle, it could be the toxins, it could be sun exposure. All these things, all biohacking techniques are really just mimicking our ancient environment, getting us closer to nature. And that's all you need to do to be healthy is just get closer to nature, closer to how humans should be. It's kind of like with these animals in the zoo, right? They couldn't get the lions to breed, right? Do you know about these stories? I don't know, it was like 10 years ago. And all of a sudden they just gave them like, instead of giving them like preformed food, like, you know, the equivalent of dog food, they gave them a carcass, you know? And then all of a sudden the lions are just eating the carcass like they're supposed to. And they're getting the organs and the viscera and the fat and the intestines. Then all of a sudden they can have kids again, our offspring. And that's the same thing Weston Price figured out 100 years ago. It's if you just eat the natural diet, they have healthy children. You're healthy as well, and you have healthy children, and everything just works when you're eating the correct foods.
So nothing out of a box or a bag. You did mention some fermented foods, which has also gained popularity. It's not just the, you know, animal-based diet, because most people think like, oh, I'm just going to be eating steak. I'm just eating eggs. No, you're also eating some vegetables and some fruit and fermented foods, which are great for you. But really, it all comes down to energy, right? Our cells need energy. Our mitochondria, which support our cells. So a lot of people don't really realize how the cells in their body work. And I was actually just explaining this to my 10-year-old. I was just talking to her about peanuts, because peanuts have been getting a bad rap for a long time. And a lot of kids are allergic to peanuts. And she would love to eat peanuts, but she was born with a peanut allergy and she's since grown out of it. So her allergist is kind of like, you know, be careful with peanuts. They're also legumes. They have mold. There's a lot of additives and peanut butter and that kind of thing. But if you eat like raw organic peanuts, they're actually very high in copper, which we need for energy in our cells. It actually helps protect us from all of like the EMFs that are around. It has zinc, which keeps us healthy, right? That boosts our immune system. But the energy in our cells is dying so quickly because of all the stuff that we're putting in it, right? Those seed oils, they kill the energy in our cells. The processed sugar, it kills the energy in our cells. It actually creates more yeast than even mold does in our body. So all of these lies, these food lies that we've been told over the course of so many years have really come back to bite us in the bunda. So now we have to do this extra work of, you know, I carry around my phone when I go to the grocery store because I've got 3 kids who want to eat something out of a box or a bag, or they need to take a snack to school or to camp or something like that. So I scan it with the Yuka app. I don't know if you've ever used that before, but it's Y-U-K-A. So if you're forced to eat something out of a box or a bag, you can scan it and it'll tell you, and you can use this for skincare too. It'll tell you if there's additives in it that are harmful to your body, that are basically decreasing the energy in your body. And I know that you do some other things in addition to eating really clean, right? You're getting the energy from your food. You're exercising a few times a week and you're doing stuff that's fun for you. So that's giving you an endorphin boost, right? Which is going to help with your gut microbiome. But what other things are you doing? Ideally, like at the Sapience Center, I know that you have a cool setup there for biohacking.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a kind of co-working and an outdoor gym, sauna, cold plunge. We even have a fire pit. I do ancestral things. And I don't want to sound like I'm trying to be a caveman. You know, I was kind of thinking about it to an outside person. It just sounds kind of lame. You know, if you're talking to like a normie type person and they're like, oh yeah, bro, you're trying to be a caveman. That's so dumb. And I'm like, no, I'm not trying to be a caveman. I am trying to get back to nature. That's the simplest way to put it, back to nature. And that means I'm out in the sun. Yesterday, it was 75 and sunny in Austin. It was great. I got down to the pool and I do 40 minutes in the sun, 20 minutes on each side on the chair, you know, full body exposure. And then I go inside, right? I don't get sunburned. I don't want to get burned, right? Like some people just think, oh yeah, the sun is good, so I'm going to get all the sun. And then they, you know, you just get burned. Like, no, this is not how it works. You get healthy sun exposure, you build up a base tan, and then yes, you can handle more sun. But I get out of the sun when I've had enough. But that is super healthy, right? I'm not taking vitamin D pills. I'm getting the actual sun because it's way more than vitamin D. Down to the mitochondrial level, right? I do stuff like even the community aspect or bonfire, being in nature, community, right? This is part of a human. Being human is being around people, being around nature, seeing the ocean. If you can't see the ocean, see the mountains, be in nature, be around a fire, you know, just community. That's why I started the Sapient Center, to have community, right? There's this whole thing of people being depressed. There's social media. There's so many things that are kind of attacking you and making you not happy. And people don't even realize why. They're like, oh, I just don't feel good. And all they have all these problems. Everyone's on antidepressants. And it's really just about being back to nature. If you ate the right foods and you had the correct energy to, you know, for your body, you got sleep, which is another one. I always get 8 hours of sleep. I'm obsessed about getting the sleep. Even if it's not like I'm the guy that goes to sleep at 9 p.m. and, you know, wakes up at 5, but I'll still get my 8 hours, right? Even if I go to sleep at 11:30, I'm still going to get my 8 hours. So if you're getting all these things, you're getting the sun, you're getting on nature, you're spending time with people, your body and your brain just work properly. Right. It's back to the animals in a zoo. If they're just caged up and not eating their proper diet or getting the proper interaction, they don't have offspring because their body's shutting down. They're like, we're not in a good time to reproduce. Something is not right. And so that's what I think most of depression is, or these different mental problems. It's not because you just have some genetic destiny that you're just going to be depressed, or you just need to have some kind of pills that will fix a problem. You need to fix the root cause of the problem. And that's just all those things I listed. It's just, yeah, doing the simple things that humans have always done.
And you're right. It's not about being a caveman, but like this summer, right? Last summer, we got to have a bonfire on the beach out in Montauk, right? We were out in Montauk. It was like actually the fall. And it was such a great experience because we had, you know, my fiance, we had all of our daughters there, we had the dogs, and we were all hanging out talking about life. We weren't sitting like this with our phones in our hands. We weren't ignoring each other. We weren't inside being bombarded by all sorts of like EMFs and stuff. We weren't watching the news or watching TV or something that, you know, we're constantly comparing ourselves to, like that's not reality, right? We weren't isolated. We were with each other. We had that sense of community, and it was beautiful to be on the ocean with a fire, hanging out with good friends. You asked my daughter some really intuitive questions, which were, it was so cool to hear their perspective on life.
It's a thought experiment. I call it Perfect Wednesday. I love this though.
That's right.
And the thought experiment is, if you had all the money in the world, what would your perfect Wednesday be? And I'm glad you brought it up, because I love doing this with people because everyone has the same answer. It's amazing. From a 10-year-old to I've asked 60-year-olds, they kind of have the same general answer. And it tells you what matters to you in life. And a lot of times, 95% of times, it's not about possessions or objects or, you know, like, oh, I need to go on a yacht around the world. Well, that's part of the thing, is Perfect Wednesday means not your birthday, not, you know, some crazy thing. What do you want your Wednesday to be like if you had all the money in the world? And people always say it, the same thing. They say, I want to wake up on my own accord, right? I don't want to, you know, have to have an alarm or be beholden to a boss. I want to have some sort of morning routine, some exercise, something with nature. I want to work on something I care about next. I want to eat a meal with some friends I want to, again, work on something I care about in the afternoon. And then I want to be around friends and family for like a dinner, you know, some kind of group event. And a lot of people actually do say around a bonfire. And, you know, all of those things are free, or they don't cost any more than, you know, your normal life if you had no money. And so this is, if you had all the money in the world, it's amazing that almost everyone just says stuff that's free. And those are the most human things. It's being around your friends and sharing meals with family and being in nature and working on things you care about.
We it's always just, have that conversation of pocket filling versus soul filling. And if you can have both, then you've hit the lottery. You never need to play the lottery ever again because you've already hit the lottery. You have the pocket filling, you've got the soul filling. And that's what I really feel like I'm doing now, finally, in my career. I made a lot of money working in tech, and I was miserable. Mm-hmm. I was miserable. I wasn't a happy person. It wasn't fun to be around. I mean, maybe I was fun after I got a couple cocktails in me, but I really wasn't that fun. And I know that you love what you do. And you love the impact that you're having on all the people that you're reaching right now. And the reason you were out in Montauk was because you were having all these great meetings for this documentary that you're releasing. And I've been lucky enough to watch the, you know, the first episode of it. And it's freaking awesome. It's freaking awesome. Like, I cannot wait for you to produce the rest of it because it's so good. Like, I want to binge watch it once it's done. This is such a nice add-on to it. Like, this whole human aspect of being grounded in nature, having community, and then asking people questions and getting to know them at a deeper level. I love that you do that. I love it. It's fabulous.
Well, yeah, it's been a long journey for me. And yes, I was in tech too. I was in engineering and then I was in tech. And yeah, I gave up the job. I gave up the six-figure salary to go on my own and have no salary. And it was crazy for the first few years, but I survived. But yeah, Food Lies, it's sort of my life's work and it takes forever. And so, yeah, I don't know when it's going to be out, but I work on it every day. I was just working on the graphics for it. It's like, I actually have to do like each detail, like every line of the series is a project. Like, I have to fact check it, or we have to craft the words, or I have to make these graphics to explain, you know, these simple things. It's complex nutrition topics, but making it really simple. And yeah, that's the main goal. It's like, I hope we did that today. I mean, we could go a little further into, yeah, just these simple topics of how to eat. And
well, like, that's the thing. I think people think that they it's like such a big shift. It's not, like you were saying, my other business is called Small Hinges, right? Mm-hmm. Smallhinges.health. You can go there. And the main reason why I created Small Hinges is because I do this blood test that tells you exactly what foods are causing an inflammatory reaction for you. Because it gives people specific guidelines. Like, don't eat bananas. I can't eat bananas. If I eat a banana, I look immediately 3 months pregnant. It's the most wild thing ever. I have other things on there that I've been able to reintegrate back into my diet after I've taken them out because I was having such a bad reaction. Your body sends this complement protein to the site of the reaction and it damages healthy cells. Eating healthy is just all about keeping your cells healthy. It's about the fuel that you're putting into your body. You want to drive a Ferrari, you're not going to put, you know, canola oil into a Ferrari's engine. You're going to put, you know, really good refined oil into that engine, really good fuel. Yeah. When I first started to shift my diet, I did it in the worst way possible. I took everything out. I did this insane 3-month cleanse where I basically didn't eat anything. I was taking like 75 different supplements. I was kind of like Dave Asprey, like,
you know, Brian
not
Johnson.
Eating enough and taking a ton of supplements to supplement all of the nutrition that I should have just been getting from food. But it reset my body. And then I was able to heal from massive autoimmune disease because it reset all of my cellular energy. And now I just basically eat real food like you do. And if I go to an ice cream parlor with my kids, I get ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't worry about it too much. But I certainly don't eat ice cream every day. I never drink Coca-Cola or Pepsi or any soft drink for that matter. I don't really eat refined sugar. That's about it. I eat a lot of grass-fed beef. I eat a lot of farm-raised eggs. I get raw milk delivered to me every week. And then I eat a ton of vegetables. I make real sourdough that it also comes from a local farm. You don't have to change everything to change everything. Small hinges do swing the big door of positive change. And that's that all came from. You can write down a list of all the things that you love to eat, right? And if it's pizza, pasta, chicken fingers, French fries, that's okay. Just write it down. Because there's always ways to make food that you love taste better that's healthier, right? Like you can make your own French fries at home.
Yeah.
With organic potatoes. I know you probably don't eat potatoes, but I eat potatoes and I make.
Oh, I eat potatoes. Yeah. And you just cook it in beef tallow.
Exactly. That's what McDonald's used to do. McDonald's used to cook their French fries in beef tallow. And now if you eat a McDonald's French fry, you're basically eating, what is it like?
It's like 50 ingredients or something. It's crazy.
It's crazy. I don't even know what it is.
Well, including canola. Yeah. They all just use soybean oil in all these restaurants, but yeah, that's crazy how many ingredients are in French fries.
It should be one ingredient and then just fried in beef tallow like it was before, maybe with a little bit of salt on it. Brian, I have a question because this is the big BS that a lot of my clients and a lot of people say eating healthy is expensive.
Mm. No, I mean, I spend less now, even though I'm getting, I get the farm-raised eggs, you know, the pasture-raised eggs from the farmer's market. You get the good quality beef. And then I get my simple sides, sauerkraut, pickles, stuff like that. I have fruit. I have potatoes. I even make rice. I cook it in bone broth. And, you know, because a lot of the nutrients are just, there's not many nutrients in rice, but I get like a white rice, like organic white rice, and cook it in bone broth. And now it's pretty decent, you know, you get some minerals back in it. And I'm spending less money because I'm not buying all these random snacks and treats. I'm not going to Starbucks or any place like that. I just make my own food. And yeah, if I go out to eat once in a while, great. But overall, I'm spending less money. And it takes a little bit of change. That's all. The thing is, humans don't like change, right? It's like you don't like that process. It's like, well, I like my pizza and we order Domino's every Friday and that's what we do. And it's fun for us. I'm like, okay, I get it. Yeah, if you have your habits, it's fun and it's comfortable. But if you change them to like, okay, let's get some dough from, you know, the store and make our, you know, some like sourdough. You could get like fermented sourdough pizza dough.
You can. Or you can,
and then you can make your own pizza. Then you can have fun with your family, make it. That could be your new tradition. And you could get your own ingredients. And it might be even cheaper than ordering. So
it is actually cheaper. We're doing that tonight with the girls. We're going to make pizza. I got for Christmas, I got a little pizza oven, wood fired. It's really cool. It makes like one small pizza at a time. And then by the time it hits the cutting board, it's gone. We don't even sit down. Usually we sit down. We have family meals, but it's so much better. They actually get to be involved in it. No one's on their phones. We blast music. We have an absolute like fun time doing it. And it's something that probably cost us, I mean, all the ingredients probably cost me $45 and I'm feeding a family of six.
Yeah.
Tonight.
It's cheaper. Yeah. If you ordered a couple pizzas delivery, that's over $50. So
at least.
Yeah. So it's kind of just this myth. I think all the food companies and media advertising wants you to think that it's cheaper and easier to just order food, right? That's how they make money. So that's the narrative. But you just have to kind of switch your thinking, switch your priorities. I mean, maybe meal prep a bit more on Sundays, maybe, you know, cook a bunch of meat and have it ready, cook a bunch of potatoes, cook a bunch of whatever, and just have it ready for the week. So it's going to be cheaper.
I think people are never going to do that unless they feel pain.
We don't do things until it's too late, kind of.
Until it's too late. Like, you know, you lost your parents and I lost my friend. I got hit by a car when I was pregnant. I have so many stories, hundreds of stories that have been told to me about, I got into biohacking because of X. I got into, you know, health training. I transformed my diet and lifestyle because of X, Y, and Z. It's typically because of pain. And I went to a Tony Robbins business mastery course a couple years ago. And he said the best way to create change is to have people feel the pain as much as possible. If you literally just fast forward in your head, right? Like, go into your head. Right now, you're eating crap. You're a little bit overweight, but you're exercising a lot. So you're kind of keeping it off. You're in your 40s and you're feeling okay. All right, fast forward. You're doing the exact same thing for the next 20 years. What's it going to look like when you're 60? Are you going to be here or are you not going to be here? Our former neighbor's son just dropped dead at 14 years old. And I was telling my fiance, he was so upset because he's a fireman. He's like, if I was there, I could have saved him potentially. And I'm like, you know what? If you fast forward 10, 15, 20 years for him, would he have survived to 30? I don't know. If he kept doing the same thing he's doing right now, if you keep living your life the same way that you're living it right now, and you fast forward 20, 30 years into the future, what does that look like? And if you can really sit in that pain, if you can feel it, if you can like close your eyes and feel how awful it feels to be sick and how much money it's going to cost you. And what's it going to cost you? Is it going to cost you, like, what if you have children? You're not going to be here for your kids 20 years from now. How painful is that going to be for them? Use their pain to make the change.
And you got to know it's possible too, because some people just don't know it's possible. They just think this is how I am or this is how I feel. So I guess you have to take examples around you. Like for me, I was on that path of like getting on the medications. I was 30 and I was taking the over-the-counter medications and it was going to lead to the prescription drugs. Like I had the acid reflux, the heartburn. I had, you know, tons of inflammation, overuse injuries in my arms and stuff. I had just a million things, my joint pain, like I was overweight. But now that I changed it, now I know like the path I was going down and how I'm on a completely different one. And so, yeah, I guess it's hard for some people to realize that they can. They just think it's part of getting older. And we just got to get that narrative out of here. People just think, oh, well, now I'm 40. And there's all these jokes. It's like, oh, dad, I'm a dad bod now. And, oh, of course I can't play sports. You know, I'm 40. I'm like, this is how all my friends think that haven't done this. Like my friends I grew up with in Hawaii, they are 40 and they're dads. They have the dad bod and they don't play sports. And then there's three of us that changed our diet. And yes, we're playing beach volleyball. We're playing basketball. I play football. I do all these things. And I just didn't know it was possible. So yes, this is a wake up of like, your body can be pretty perfect until old age. Like I've met these people. I went around the world. That's part of the Food Lies journey and filming. I went to Africa and spent time with these hunter gatherers. I went to other places too, not just, you know, I was like in Costa Rica, I was in Canada. You know, I've been to different places where these people still eat their traditional diets and the old people are out there hunting, they're fishing, they're gathering food, they're doing everything. We just think it's normal that you just have all these problems and you stop working out, you stop playing sports and you just wither away. It's insane.
Right. It's your expectation of what life is going to be. If you want to be addicted to pharmaceutical medication, you know, a pill for every ill that you have, if you want to be overweight and you want your heart to stop by the time you're 60, then just keep doing the same stuff you're doing. When I did my TEDx, I talked about my client, Tony Anthony, and that's exactly why he made the choice. He had bariatric surgery 4 years before he worked with me. He was over 330 pounds when he had bariatric surgery. And then when he worked with me, he was right around 300 pounds. So he lost 100 and then gained 70 back. And he really, you know, he's a big guy, he's a tall guy, so he carried it well, but he did it for his daughters. His daughters were going into high school and they're playing all these sports and he wanted to change his whole family's trajectory, his whole family's future, not just his. He wanted to be around for his kids, but he also wanted them to be around for a really long time and to give him grandkids and, you know, to have his wife live as long as him too. So we worked together and he lost 60 pounds in 6 months and I see him all the time and he looks great. Mm-hmm. And he didn't have to really change his diet that much. I mean, obviously he's Italian, so he liked to do the whole, you know, pasta and pizza and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But he just went to a Whole Foods diet. We threw out everything in his pantry. We cleaned out his entire pantry and it was great. It was great. Mm-hmm. It worked really well for him. But You are working on so many great things that are educating the masses, and I'm so excited for your documentary that's coming out. How can I best support all the cool things that you're doing?
Well, thank you for that. Yeah, I mean, I just got to get this documentary out. You go to foodlies.org and check it out. There's a 3.5-minute intro that's really cool that we spent a long time on. So I'd watch that. And the Indiegogo is still open. You can pre-order it. And that helps. Just we're paying for motion graphics. And yeah, the money doesn't go to me. It goes to, you know, the making the film. Yeah, we make beef tallow body care. We were kind of one of the first. A lot of people do it now, but we were the OGs. I started in 2019 and we were doing the beef tallow body care, and we have like really high quality stuff.
Lady, yeah, if you want to stay young, if you want to keep the wrinkles off, you got to use the Notice Tail beef tallow body care.
It's a good plug. No, it's so good for your skin. It's just, we call it skin food, one of the products, because it's just what nourishes your skin. It's, your body is made of animal fat. So it's so weird that people are putting anything but animal fat on their skin. They're putting plant oils, they're putting chemicals, they're putting all these random little potions on their skin when you really just need some beef tallow. You really just need some fat that matches your skin's fat, and it has the nutrients in it, and it's amazing.
High collagen. It's a great, great product. I actually use the skin food every night for a good amount.
Amazing.
I don't do any Botox fillers, none of that stuff. I don't really have any wrinkles.
Oh, I know. I use an example actually in one of my Instagram posts back in the day of moms, like 40-year-old moms that look amazing. And there's just no excuses. People just think it's normal to become overweight and just look like you're old when it's absolutely not the case. It does not have to happen. And there, you know, I just used you and a few other examples, but I know so many people who live like this and they all look fantastic.
So what else is coming up for your speaking at a conference?
Yes. Yeah. We got the Health Optimization Summit in Austin. It's going to be super fun. I'm going to be talking about this type of stuff, ancestral hacking, right? True biohacking. We're going to have the after party at Sapien Center, actually. I hope you make it.
Nice. I love your parties so much.
Yeah. Oh, we have some good ones. Just
we were singing karaoke until like 1 o'clock in the morning last one.
That's how we like to end our parties. It's so fun. It's like part of being human. You know, here's a little thought. I had this thought of all the most famous, highest paid people in the world, what do? They're athletes, musicians, they're rock stars, they're comedians, they're actors. I don't know if I said that twice, right? What are all those? These are all the highest paid, most famous people. Those are all things that humans have done for the longest, around the campfire. The most human things you can do are all those things I just listed. This is what we did. For hundreds of thousands of years around a fire, we told stories and jokes. We danced. We sang. We hunted. That's the sports equivalent. This is what we value as humans. Back to nature, like I said, not being a caveman, but going back to our human roots, it's undeniable. It's undebunkable. It's everything. And yeah, singing karaoke till 1 a.m. is just exactly that. Right. That's like I said, I don't care. I'm still going to get sleep. Maybe I have to take a nap, but I'm out there having fun. And yeah, like this is what why you can stay healthy.
And this is why we're good friends, because we're all about the joy in life and ancestral hacking, which I love that you've coined that now.
Yeah.
That's going to be the title of this podcast. That is exactly what God intended us to do, is to happy. Just be happy. Surround yourself with people that lift you up. Surround yourself with people who, you know, have similar goals as you. Just elevate yourself. Eat a little bit better each day, you know, and wake up earlier if you can. Get outside in the sun. Get yourself grounded in the earth. Love on your family. You know, figure out ways to help others be happy, because that's going to make you happy too. And cut the BS. Mm-hmm. Stop telling yourself the same stupid story. I'm excited for everything you've got going on. And I'm just so grateful that you came here today and joined me on this podcast, on the Optimize We podcast. You gave us so many great tips and you debunked so much of the BS. So many food lies that are out there, and I can't wait for your documentary to come out. I really can't wait.
Well, there'll be so many more. Yeah, I feel like we only scratched the surface with like the actual, you know, knowledge and tips, but there will be way more in the Food Lies docuseries.
Well, you got to stay tuned then and go to foodlies.org. Check out that 3-minute intro video.
Yeah.
Sign up for when it comes out.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, until next time, Brian, thank you so much. I'll look forward to hearing all about your documentary. I'll try to get myself down to the Health Optimization Summit.
Do it. All right. Thanks, Lindsay.